It's Mornings with Dablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Good morning, Thursday, folks. February 22nd edition of the morning show here. Nice morning, sunshine in 27 degrees. I said Thursday is always jam-packed here, and the 8 o'clock hour, always a fun hour, starting with our favorite historian, Jana Gagelin, in once again this morning. Jana, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Missed you last week. I missed the report, so yeah, my Thursday was all sort of sideways, too.
Yeah, well, but, we're here.
Yeah, we get to make up for it today. I didn't even get a chance to ask you before we went on here what we're talking about today.
Well, we started talking about the gold miner, you know, Charlie Zilgit. And his little story about meeting a guy that owned a mine in Colorado.
That's right.
On the Cripple Creek. And so this miner tells him about what he owns.
Okay.
And the mine hasn't been worked for 20 years because Mr. Shepperson didn't want it to be in the hands of the big mining companies. So Charlie comes back here and he tells his story about the mine and how it's ready to be mined and people will be able to recover their money. So the guy decides, the mine owner, that he's going to sell his mine to Charlie and whoever else can invest in it. So he'll sell it for $40,000, which was a pretty good price.
That is a lot of money back then.
Yeah. Well, Charlie came up with $10,000 himself, and then he got different amounts from other people. Small amounts of $100, some $1,000. In the meantime, he studied everything he could about the mining business, and he got some of his friends, and they went to look at the mine, just kind of see what they were getting into. They came back all enthused. So they bought the mine. And they started mining, and Charlie was the person who was the head of the group. I think they called the name of their mine Roseberry.
Roseberry.
Yeah, must have been after something here.
Okay.
So they work it, and in 1925, oh, Charlie's still excited because we're gonna do well.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1926, the editor of the newspaper from Winemere actually sold his paper and went out to mine with Charlie.
So hung up the paper.
Yeah.
And said,
yeah.
Charlie, I'm coming out to mine with
That's
you.
That's right.
All right.
And he did. But it never produced what they thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they said it was, you know, 4 feet wide and it was 5 feet down. It was 150 feet long. You know, these, and they had four or five different veins. And but I think that the mining was a little bit too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have all the equipment that they needed. And so, consequently, they got squeezed out by the big guys. And
if it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. But, you know, they say once it's in your blood, it's
yeah,
in your blood.
That's what I've heard, you know, yeah. Gold fever.
Right. So Charlie went on to California. He worked at some mines there. And 1934, he was hired to do, I think they had an opal mine. And it was way in the northeast corner of California.
Okay.
And very, very rich with ore. So he worked there for a while, but he died in 1935, and so his wife moved back here and remarried, and the daughter died also. So it was not so good.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But that is our Wahpeton connection here.
That is right.
Okay.
And you know, pretty cool that we had someone who even took a chance.
Right.
It was a great story. Whoever wrote it did an excellent job of telling the story, which is, you know,
which is what you do every day.
Well,
you
know, we try.
Every Thursday. It's
we
like,
try.
I always say it's not what you're saying, Jan. It's how you're saying it.
Well, I got a good one.
Okay.
I hope we can get through it.
Absolutely.
So, April 8th, 1924.
Mm-hmm.
Sky lights up. I mean, it is bright. You can see that something is going on all the way to Fergus Falls and Wheaton and Hankinson, Winemere.
And what year was this?
1924.
24, mm-hmm. Okay.
So what happened is the Breckenridge courthouse was on fire. And it was a wood structure because it was built in 1884.
Okay.
And they had a little bit of brick, but not much. Mm-hmm. And so the fire obviously was going to burn quite brightly.
Mm-hmm.
They had to condemn the building because it wasn't safe for many people to be in there. The sheriff moved out. The jail wasn't there.
Where was it located, Janet?
At the exact block that the present day one is.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where it was. So they have this huge fire, and the Wahpeton Fire Department tries to get over there to help. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as most things are, you know, when there's a big thing happening, people don't pull over.
Right.
So the fire trucks had to go around all the cars, and there were a few crashes. And
seriously?
Yes, yes. So the good thing that came out of this was that they, you know, the two cities had some ordinances that they established to say, hey, if there is a vehicle that's on its way, like a fire truck, mm-hmm. get out of the way so it right. can safely be there. Going back to the story, though, there were some insurance companies that didn't want to insure the building anymore because it was unsafe, but they kept it open. And not long before the building burned, the voters turned down a vote to build a new one.
Okay.
And so they just said, well, it's too expensive. We're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their main reason. And then a few months or weeks later, it burns. So then they didn't have any courthouse, but they had some vaults. And in the vaults were all their documents, so nothing was lost in that way, which was good.
Thank heavens.
Yeah. So they had to move to many different places, and they started building a new courthouse in 1928-29 in that time frame. They probably started in 28, finished in 29.
Okay.
But it was not the first fire. The previous courthouse was on fire at one time.
It's cursed.
Yeah, 1882, I think it was. And they lost all of their records.
Oh, man.
And so that's why they put in these vaults that would house the records so that not anything like that would happen again.
Right.
So, I don't know, it's like a catastrophe, and everybody sees it. So all the people then drove to it and tried to look at just a small amount of bricks that were there.
And create a bottleneck so the fire trucks couldn't get through.
Yeah. So that's pretty typical.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of a good story.
That is a great story.
Yeah, I didn't even look for it. It just fell.
It just jumped out at
you. It did. Yeah.
I was going to ask you that. Some stories I know you have to look for.
You want to know a little bit more about them. You know, in this case, a lot of the offices moved to the fraternity hall, which I think was, you know, like on Minnesota Avenue, but kind of where the vets is, the VFW is.
Got it, yeah.
In that area there, according to my sources from the Wilkin County Museum.
All right.
So, yeah. So that's about it for that story. It was, you know, the bad thing was they didn't build a new one. Mm-hmm. They turned it down. But yet we got an ordinance that said, hey, if there's an emergency vehicle, pull over.
Please get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Yeah. Inspire today's new move-over laws. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So there we are.
Janet Gageland, always great to have you in your talking history.
Good to be here.
What do you got for us next week?
I've got a couple that I think will be surprising. Again, it'll be back in that 1924, and they're going to be looking at, really, that was 100 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
Time flies.
It does.
Janet, great to have you in here. We'll talk next Thursday.
Okay.
Talking Wahpeton History with Janet Gageland. We do it every Thursday at this time. Here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
It's National FFA Week, and Minn Kota Ag Products of Colfax, Hankinson Renewable Energy, Titan Machinery, Red River Communications, Red River Agency, Red River Energy, State Farm Agents Man to Man at Frederick, High Camp Construction, RDO Equipment in Breckenridge, and Nutrien Ag Solutions are proud to support FFA.
Hi, my name is Kara Shimneski, and I am the chapter president of the Lidgerwood FFA chapter. Did you know that wool from one sheep each year will make approximately 4 to 5 sweaters? North Dakota sheep could make between 300 and 350,000 sweaters yearly. One thing that I really like about FFA is that this past summer we were able to travel to Ireland and learn about all the different agriculture that's there, and I think it was a great experience.